Okay, can you just introduce yourself and give some background?
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm Mike Kobylanski. I'll be 38 next month. I was born in St. Catherine's Hospital, but I grew up in Thorold mostly. I've been living in St. Catherine's probably, I'd say 5 years, about 8 years in here. In between, I was in Ottawa for three, but I was a correctional officer for 12 and a half years at the Niagara Detention Center and the Ottawa Carleton Detention Center. About 3 years ago, I called it a day on that just to pursue firefighting. So I've been going after that for 3 years, and just had my first interview yesterday with Burlington Fire, and I think it went pretty good. So apparently we're down to 48 people, and there's 9 spots, so hopefully this guy gets one. But yeah, I played sports all my life growing up, every sport under the sun. Played every team sport there is. I was the quarterback of my high school football team at DM. I was enforcer in hockey, so the tough guy, the energy guy, I guess, and played 3 years of junior B between a year and a half with Welland, and then I went to the St. Catharines Falcons at Garden City there, and then my last year I was in hometown Thorold and won the Ontario Cup. That's great. I have a wife, and she's a nurse. She's a nurse at the St. Catharines Hospital. She's in the operating room, and we got 2 little kids. So our daughter is just turned 4 in January, and our son, he'll be 6 18th of this month. It's my wife's birthday tomorrow, actually. So there's my little tidbit about me.
You mentioned you played 3 years of junior B. What kind of hockey did you play prior to that?
Yeah, prior to that, I played all-star hockey. So originally, what I was going to get into with this was I originally played CYO hockey in St. Catharines. So my first ever hockey game was at the Garden City Arena. Or I don't know if you want me to refer to it as Garden City or Jack Eacliff. I see it as Garden City for my time. So with that, yeah, I started in CYO, but I still lived in Thorold, and there was a lot of issues there with me being an out-of-towner when I started playing for the select team there. So we'd go to tournaments, and they'd call me a ringer, so I eventually just went and played Thorold All-Star, stayed in my city in Thorold, and played high school hockey for Dennis Morris, then 3 years of junior B. So with that, three different cities, but yeah, I had a half a year there with the St. Catharines Falcons, and yeah, it was a fun time. I had 4 fights on that ice. I was a fighter, so 4 fights on that ice, 24 in the league, but 4 on that ice. I'd say it was a small circuit. You didn't play so many teams. You played maybe 7 or 8 different teams, so same people over and over, I guess. I have a lot of buddies that played a higher level, AAA and that, but for us in Thorold, AAA, you either played in St. Catharines or you played in Welland or Niagara Falls, and we didn't have that option back then all that well. Some kids went, but it was great growing up playing hockey in the area, and I could get to some of my stories, and I don't know, there's some funny stories in there about what hockey led to, so I guess, so I'll tell a quick story, I guess. My grandfather, who grew up in St. Catharines, both my parents grew up in St. Catharines, and 94 years old at the time. This is 2013, I think. He was at his home, a nursing home, and he fell out of his chair, fractured his shoulder, goes to the hospital. I go visit him the next day, and his nurse walks in, introduces herself, says her first name. I look at her, I'm like, I think I know who that is. So I approach her. So at this time, I think I'm, 28, I think. And I approach her, and I ask her if her last name's this. And she's like, yeah, well, what's your name? I said my name. And we both realized that we played on the same hockey team when we were 10 years old. So we hadn't seen each other for 18 years. But, we played on the same team. Have the picture. We're actually side by side in the picture. And, she was quick to give me her number. Yeah. One thing led to another. And here we are now. We're CYO. Now I'm coaching in CYO, and that's where we met, and my son plays CYO now, so good times. But yeah, that's the story of my wife and I, and One more story, I guess, along that line with the Rex Steimers. So the day that I saw her again, the day that I went to the hospital was November 4th, 2013. And so November 4th is a big day for us where 2 years later, I then rented the ice at Rex Steimers in that facility. And I actually had a photographer waiting in the, hiding in the bushes there or whatever. And rented the ice for just her and I. Took her out to center ice and got down on one knee and proposed to her. So the ice that we originally played on as little kids, 10 years old, 11 year old, we were on the team 2 years in a row. So I even had the arena guys change the score clock. So it's the date. So the pictures were nice with the photographer, and I have them on my phone. I could show you them after or whatever. She said yes, obviously, so that's why we're here. But
do you know if you're the only person who's ever proposed on Rex?
Not a clue. At Rex Steimers, I don't know. I think people have considered us a Happy Gilmore move or something. So I don't know. I think it's been done in the movies before, but I'm sure somebody's done it. But yeah, that's it was just cool to see that came around and made sense. That seemed like the place to do it, so I did it there because she'd been saying that she wanted to go ice skating one day, and all right, so rented the ice, bring your skates, and there we go. So
and then a few years later the ice was removed.
Yeah, it's volleyball now, so we play in that league but not in the indoor one. So we play in the beach volleyball one in Welland and in St. Catharines as well, but we don't play in the inside there. But I'm also a volunteer at Canada Blood Services. I guess I'm not really supposed to say who comes in there and donates, but the guy that owns that league, runs that league, he was showing me pictures of the inside of the Rex Steimers the one time, and it's pretty cool to see what they've done with the volleyball stuff there, so I got to see that. So.
You mentioned being CYO coach. How does being a coach compare to being a player?
It's a lot of responsibility in regards to such little kids. You know, you're, like I said, I'll be 38 next month, so I'm not that silly kid anymore. I'm supposed to be a mature adult, so I have to be responsible and a role model for them. So yeah, it's been fun. I'm enjoying it. It's only my second year. You know, COVID kind of messed up that first year where my son only got like I think 2 months of hockey and then they canceled it, so we got to deal with that. And quick story, kind of remember this season of hockey, the first like couple sessions we started at the Jack Aycliffe Arena, Garden City, and the last time we were there, I remember the lights went out. We had just gotten on the ice and all the power went out, lights went out, and it's just a show. I guess it's time for it to go down, I guess. I don't know, about 15 minutes we had to wait, just standing around, just waiting for the lights to come back on so we could practice. So shortly after that, they sent us over to Meriden. So now we use a different ice surface, and we only got one more weekend of ice to play, and then season's over. So coaching's great. I don't know. I don't know. Apparently, I don't. Luckily, I have a bit of a hockey background playing junior hockey and stuff, so I got some skills and stuff to pass on to these kids. And I don't know. They made me the coordinator for next year, so that's exciting. Yay.
Yeah. What did you learn as a player that you brought into coaching?
Big thing, and like I said, for firefighting, it's all about the team stuff, right? You want to be a team player, you want to be a leader, that type of stuff. So just playing hockey, I can teach skills and how to skate and how to shoot and all that stuff, passing and all that, but I think I get a little more out of it at the end. I've, even though COVID or whatever, I've made a point to have the kids tap gloves at the end of each game and learn sportsmanship, right? So that's a big part of it. It's not all about the skills, it's about the friends you make along the way, these little guys, and the life values you learn from sports is almost more important than the skills that you learn on the ice. But you see so many people, I see a lot of people that are successful later in life, and I think a lot of it is because they played sports their whole life, and it's very helpful. Not everybody had the opportunity or the chance to do that, but the ones that did, you can see it in them for being team players and leaders and all that stuff. So that's big that I try to pass on to these kids and try to use a sense of humor at times too, just to bug the kids. But yeah, some of the skills I learned from hockey, but some of the daily values too, I guess. Go ahead.
How has CYO been beneficial to kids in St. Catharines, in your opinion?
You know, to think that's where I started off, and apparently I met my wife there, so that's kind of cool, I guess. Thank you, CYO. Thanks to my dad for, you know, working at General Motors and asking his St. Catharines buddies, where should I put my son in hockey this year? And it's CYO, not Thorold, where all my friends were playing. You know, I was going to school in Thorold, and for whatever reason, I don't know, somebody had a bigger plan, and CYO's been very good. Talking to the league, I just talked to them a couple of weeks ago, and they're just talking about how, like, prior to COVID, like, just this program alone that I run, there used to be 300 kids, little kids, sign up for this one program, but because of COVID, a lot of people are not playing hockey, and they've stepped away from that, so we're probably only at, like, 50, you know? So that's a big difference in numbers, and, you know, I just think CYO, you know, I'm trying my best to keep that reputation going well and make sure that they have a good reputation. I do my best to talk to the parents, and CYO's been important, you know. It's been important to the city, you know, feeding, you know, some of the other leagues, the higher leagues, the All-Stars and stuff. So CYO's great. Go ahead.
Of course, you mentioned your wife. Have you coached any girls as a coach at CYO?
So, yeah, that was one of the things I actually wrote down. And my timeline on that is I wrote it down as 2014, 15, somewhere in there. I coached my first ever practice. So at that time, I would have been, I would have been 30. And the first time I ever coached, I was the head coach of the practice, and it was an all-girls hockey practice of all things. And I'm trying so hard to think what that league is called, but it's just because I think they went to, like, the Junior Badgers or something, or I think they've gone to that, but prior to that it was like Cyclones or something. I don't know, they had a different name. But a friend of mine that I worked with at the jail, he's a customs officer now, his daughter, she's a goalie, and he sent me a picture recently, and it's like, oh, kids grew up, I guess. I got coached her when she was like 10 or something, and then a picture of her recently and she was like 21. But it was cool at the time. I wrote down, thought about how his nephews also came out and helped me, but they were a bunch younger than me. They were like 14 or something. And one of them actually just got drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2018. So he's playing with the Marlies, their farm team. And kind of cool to think, some of the guys I've seen that have touched that ice in, St. Catharines, I've seen some of these guys go on to do big things and play in the NHL. And that brings me to another point that I brought is, around like 07, 08, I wrote it down, but I was 23-year-old kid or whatever, and we heard John Tavares was coming to town. You know, John Tavares, the next phenom, the next Gretzky or whatever you want to call it. And it's like, to think at the time he was only 17 or 18, so this was OHL, this is when he's coming to play against the Ice Dogs. And I didn't go to many Ice Dogs games back then, but like you hear of like a stud coming to town, it's like, then to think, like, fast forward, you know, what it is now, like 14 years or whatever, and, you know, he's in the NHL, he's, got over 900 NHL games and almost 900 points. It's like, to see the guys, you know, evolve like that, it's pretty exciting to see that. So, I've seen, you know, they used to even host the Buffalo Sabres, you know, practices, and I remember as a kid going to see, I don't think I was that young, maybe 20 or so, but probably the same age as you guys, not that young, but Dominic Hasek, you know, great goalie for the Buffalo Sabres, and it just blew my mind to see how big he was in person, you know, because, you know, goalies are allowed to get super huge equipment. He's a tall, skinny guy. He's just, you know, he's not that big, but, like, he looked enormous that day, and I got his autograph, so got to experience that and see the Buffalo Sabres, so that was cool on Garden City ice.
It's interesting that you're mentioning these players, because a lot of the people that we've interviewed so far have been a lot older. And so when they talk about their sort of hockey heroes, they're all mentioning Marcel Dion,
okay,
even Stan Mikita. I'm just wondering, like, your generation, who were the big names in addition to John Tavares?
Yeah, like anybody that came through the OHL and would have stepped on the ice against the Ice Dogs, I guess. I'm not really sure exactly who all came out from the Ice Dogs, but, you know, any of those guys, Steven Stamkos, like, you know, you played in the OHL, you came through Niagara, you played there, right? Like, I just wasn't that big on watching hockey, but at the time, supposedly John Tavares, big name, so I went to see him. But I'll touch on the, I don't, not to dodge your question there, but I'll touch on the Marcel Dion, because the, I don't know, when I started reading all this and looking, thinking about the things I've done there, it's just funny to see the different generations between my father, me, and my son now. And I talked to my dad today, actually, and just told him I was doing this, and he thought it was pretty cool and different, and why would they want to talk to me? I'm nobody, right? So, yeah. But, yeah, it's just funny to think, like my dad said, like when he was like 14, 17 years old, you know, he never missed a game. Every Sunday night, I guess when they used to be called the St. Catharines Blackhawks when it was Junior A, you know. I'm a Thorough boy, so Thorough Blackhawks, it's the St. Catharines Falcons. But I guess back in his time, it was the St. Catharines Junior A Blackhawks. So, you know, Marcel Dion was the stud. He's a tiny little thing, but he's like 5'8". But, yeah, my dad, he was saying how, you know, as a kid, when my dad was 14, 17, he's going to see Marcel Dion, and I looked it up today, saw the stats, that he was 17 to 20 years old in his stint that when he was here. And my dad said, never missed a game, and he would hitchhike, you know, back in the time when you were allowed to hitchhike, you know. He lived maybe, I'd say about 10, 15 minutes away from the arena, and to think he was hitchhiking at that age to get there just to watch the game. My dad spoke of how, you know, there's like no fire code back then. So like people are standing, everybody wanted to see the great Marcel Dion and three rows back in the standing. And, you know, he mentioned that, you know, in that time how they got to see Guy Lafleur and Gilbert Perreault and all these big players coming through to play. And, you know, they considered Marcel Dion to be a traitor somewhat because he's originally from, I think he's from Quebec. And, you know, he should have been playing in the Junior AQ, the Quebec League, but he played in St. Catharines, and he was drafted second overall in the NHL. And you know his stats, like he was behind Gretzky forever. He was you know, some guys have passed him since, but you know he's sixth all time in goals and in points, 11th in assists. You know he's a big deal. And now to bring that forward to my part with Marcel Dion, it's funny to me that when I was playing for the Falcons, for whatever reason, I was only there for half a year, but they picked a couple of us to go and do an autograph signing thing because the kids, you know, in the area, the kids just love their Junior B players. They think, you know, we're gods or whatever it is. It's hilarious that they think we're so much when we're just nobody. Most of us never go on and do anything. But, yeah, I went to Ridley College, and I think it was me and maybe two other guys on our team. But, like, you know, because we have our jerseys on, we got our Falcons jerseys on, the kids just love us. They think it's the greatest thing that we're these big deals for autographs. And then, meanwhile, beside me is a female pro golfer signing autographs as well. And there's Marcel Dion actually beside me. I had Marcel right beside me. And, you know, these kids don't even care about the old man. Not to be rude, but, like, They were more ecstatic to see us because we had our jerseys. They knew the younger guys with the jerseys. Meanwhile, Marcel Dion, I left one at home, but the one he signed for me. And, you know, he's signing his name and then NHL HOF 92. He's in the NHL Hall of Fame. So he's right behind Gretzky and all the points and all that stuff, and he's signing in the Hall of Fame, and they're excited to see us, the Falcons. So that was pretty funny to me, and yeah, that's my Marcel Dion story, I guess, between my dad and myself. But I'm sure everybody brought up Marcel Dion when they talked about this, because that's a big deal. He was the guy. Another question.
Can you talk about the atmosphere in the arena at the Tavares game? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, tons of people just all expecting, you know, they come for that, you know, for that one person, you know, as much as the regulars came to see the Ice Dogs, you know, there's definitely different people that show up on that night just to see, you know, the supposed guy, the Gretzky guy or whatever, the next Gretzky. And Yeah, it's exciting. You know, the thing with Tavares made me laugh, and it just blew my mind because, like, at that time, I'd already probably, I think I was maybe still playing Junior B or whatever around that time. And watching him out there, it just made me laugh to think that, like, this is the guy. Like, he looked like he was skating on his ankles. Like, he looked like a terrible skater. But, like, the thing was, I'm pretty sure he scored at least 2 goals that game, you know? And it was, like, as terrible as his skating looked, he gets himself in front of the net, puck comes to him, he finds the mesh, right? He knows how to do that. So I'll always have that memory that, like, it's just crazy when you think, like, this is the guy, and it's like, he skates terrible. But, you know, that's just the way these goal scorers are. Some of these guys are just, they know how to find the net all the time. You know, they spend so much time shooting pucks and just repetition on that. And, you know, he has time to grow into his feet and learn how to skate properly once he moves along, you know, young guy.
It didn't have to do with the bad ice at the Garden City.
So it's funny, my dad, like, he mentioned, another thing I was going to say is, like, you know, my dad used to play old-timers hockey, and, you know, old-timers, I always looked forward to that because, you know, you have to be 35 and then you're considered an old-timer. So now I'm 37, and I always thought I'd be playing it, but I'm more interested in coaching right now. But so when my dad used to play on all these teams, they were always tournament teams. So you'd have a couple, you'd play like 6 or 7 tournaments a year. And he mentioned how hot it was in that arena. He said, like, he's usually cold, and it's like, he said he would play no t-shirt underneath, and it's just that much hotter. And he just always remembered that. So I don't really remember complaining about the ice. I don't mind the ice. I thought it was good. I don't know. I'm sure my enforcer game, it really didn't help my game. It just drop the mitts and stand there. So it was probably nice that it was soft.
When did you become the enforcer? How does that happen?
How does that happen? Yeah. Lots of time. I think it's built into you. I think it's there's a bunch of different ways of answering that question, I guess. But for myself, growing up with my father and in my parents' house, you know, they're still married 40 years or something. So, you know, we grew up watching boxing. We grew up watching all those martial arts movies, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal, Bruce Lee, whatever. It's, I don't know, you get that bit of that fighter side in you, I guess. And, you know, growing up as a kid playing all-star, you know, there was some years where I was, you know, one of the top guys on our team. And, you know, when you play in kids hockey like that, if you get in a fight, you're done. You may get suspension too, a couple games where you don't get to come back. And that made my dad angry. That made my coaches angry. And, you know, for me not to be in if I'm scoring goals. But for whatever reason, you know, I never really grew up watching like a certain team or, you know, I enjoyed the fights. I always enjoyed when the gloves dropped, and you know, Don Cherry will always say that, you know, there's nobody, nobody's in their seats when, you know, the guys are fighting, everybody's up and excited to watch it. So I don't know. I enjoyed that aspect, and for whatever reason, I was good at it. So, you know, maybe if I lost a couple more of those, maybe I wouldn't have done it. But when you win, I don't know, I probably had about 60 hockey fights in all of my hockey, and, I lost less than a handful, so that's a couple draws in there. But, you know, that helps out a bit. I don't know. It's that thing in me where, you know, even when you look at my career choices, you know, corrections in the jail and then going into firefighting, I want to be there to protect my teammates, you know. I want to stick up for the guys that can't stick up for themselves. I don't like people bullying, you know, so that comes out in me and on the ice, and you know, that's who I am. And touch my goal scorers or whatever, you know, I do my best to make my team feel safe out there. So I was that guy standing in front of the other team's bench, calling on the bench, or, you know, being silly. But I enjoy putting on a show for the fans. You know, I have a picture here in a fight, and you know, I got a big smile during the fight. Like, it's funny to me. I don't know. Like, I don't know. And kids like that. They think it's funny. So I don't know if the fans would enjoy that too. So, but another thing I want to touch on that question, how do you become a fighter? And then when you start moving up to the higher leagues, like OHL and, you know, some of those other leagues, you know, for some of these guys, if they want to, you know, they may have been like the stud on their team all through All-Star, all through whatever. And if they want to play at that next level, just because they're a big guy, that's the role they fall into, you know, if they want to be at the, if they want to stay there. And, you know, it just kind of sucks in that regard that, you know, they have to resort to that, you know. And as much as I talk about the fighting aspect, I'm actually against the fighting aspect at this point. We've come a long way and learned how bad it is on your head. And, you know, we've seen so many fighters that have lost their life to substance abuse or suicide or, you know, the CTE on the brain and all that. So, you know, I've read all those books. I've read tons of those books, Probert, Bugard, whoever, all the fighters. But I'm actually against it. So I don't really watch hockey. I'm not somebody that enjoys, I don't really watch much hockey. I never really have. But I don't really look forward to the fights anymore. So funny that that's how it comes around. But I used to thought it was the greatest thing. But I don't know, it changes. And then there's a part of that I could say where there's also a part that probably leaves a sore or a sour taste in your mouth when, like, when you get labeled the tough guy, the fighter, you don't get to show your other skills. They just use you as that. So then you sit a lot on the bench. when you're in junior hockey and, you know, it becomes a business and people are paying to watch you and people are paying for things. And, you know, it's not about the every kid has to play. A fighter could sit there and maybe step on the ice when he's told to go fight, you know? So that leaves a sour taste in my mouth too. So, but next question. I don't know. I had a coffee before I came in. Watch me.
It's fascinating. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's different.
Okay. Another question regarding
fighting. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a lot more prevalent in Canada than, say, the United States.
I don't know how much different it is towards the States. Probably a lot more towards Europe, I would think. It's really not a part of the game in Europe and stuff. But like in the States, when you start leaving junior hockey and then you want to still chase the dream, and if you don't choose Europe and you go to southern teams like the East Coast League or the AHL and stuff like that, there's a lot of fighting. And like some of those leagues, like they just had that Netflix special where that's how they ran their team, was it was like WWF plus hockey. And it's the fans like it. You know, like I said, the fans like watching it. People like a good battle and the hunger for it, I guess, for whatever reason. When I was a kid, I always hated hearing like how they wanted to take it out of the game. I thought that was just so wrong, because it's always been a part of our game. And when I say that our game, I mean Canada. But yeah, I don't know. It's always been a part of our game. So in Canada, you know, we have, you know, like I know enough of like when I was being, you know, it's such a fast paced sport and it's rough hitting and stuff, and people get hurt and people have to defend their. They're superstars. If you don't, if you don't keep, if you don't maintain the law, everybody will run wild and people will get injured and you'll lose your best players. So the fighting's there for a reason. It's for the entertainment, but it's also to keep everybody in check. It's part of it.
Going back towards the Garden City Arena,
I think that's why we're here, right? Yeah. I think that's why we're here. Yeah, let's get at that again.
How has the arena changed between when you played there when you were younger compared to now?
It's gotten a lot smaller because I've gotten a lot bigger, I think, is the main thing. It still looks old. It still looks the same to me, I think. I don't know how much it's really changed. That's probably why... it's time to shut her down, because I don't know how much money they put into it. I don't know how much renovations they've really done or anything like that. So, you know, I know, like, you know, being a Thorold boy, they've just dumped a bunch of it into the Thorold Arena, and it looks way different, you know, than when I was little. I don't really see much of a difference personally. Like, you know, besides you know, the snack bar being moved up there, and you know, snack bar moved and stuff like that, and you know, the second tier looks a bit different with the stairs in the front and the elevator and stuff like that. But I feel like that's been there for quite some time now, like 20 years at least. So I don't know how much it's changed really since I was little. Yeah. Go ahead.
How does the Garden Marin City Arena compare to other arenas you've played and coached in?
Like, I'm not dogging it at all. I love it. I think it's classic. Like, to me, I think it's a classic arena, and I like that. I like that feel about it, to think that, like, Marcel Dion skated on the ice and all that stuff. It's you know, those seats are, they look vintage. It's one of those things where if they knock it down, I want one of those seats.
We all do.
Yeah, I want the bleacher, you know. Yeah, and comparable to the other ones, like, you know, I think when we go out of town, maybe we don't understand the history behind some of these other ones. But I'm sure that, you know, each city has its rising stars or whoever who's played in that rink. But being from this area, you know, my dad talked, you know, as I get older, I become an old man. Now I become like my dad, and you just tell the old war stories 100 times over, and you hear the same thing over and over, and you just hear Marcel Dion and this and that. And yeah, it's just it's the classic feel of it, I think. And, you know, I think it's got those I don't even know what you call those things. I call them like the donut diner cube windows. What do you call those things? The glass. It's got the glass square cube window things on the top tier. So, yeah, so when those lights went out that one practice, it was pretty dark in there. It was barely coming through those cubes. So, I don't know. I remember our junior B dressing room. It was just like underneath the bleachers. It felt like a dungeon. I remember I played it in other places, and the dressing rooms were just nicer. Go ahead.
What do you think the arena has that newer arenas don't?
History. Yeah, history, I think. I think that's also why we're here, eh? So, yeah, you can build a brand new arena, and, you know, I don't know, a lot of these, I find a lot of the ones that they build, they don't have, like, seating, right? They don't have as much seating as we have in the old ones, and if they do, you know, there's a glass barrier in between, and you're sitting in the warm area or whatever it is. But like old arenas like that have the hanging heaters, and I know Meriton's not turning them on lately. That sucks for the fans. But yeah, it's I don't know. It's all about the history and all the people who have come through there, and you know, these new arenas, they just they make them look more like, I don't know, they look like a warehouse, comparable to like a stadium, I guess, or you could say, for the old ones or whatever. So, yeah, it's mostly the history, the ghosts that fly through there, the ones that have been there, and then, like, you know, all those banners that go across, right? That's the big thing with the old arenas, is seeing all those banners and then looking back at the year on it. And, like, I don't know if they still have it, but I remember, like, they always had, like, even if I look in here, I could probably find it, but, like, I swear they had, like, a picture of the Queen hanging for, like,
it's
the longest
there.
Time.
It's
yeah,
there.
Right? Like, the Queen's hanging, you know. I don't think they do that in the new arenas. I don't know. I don't remember seeing pictures of the Queen. Yeah, you see all the banners and stuff. It's just, and you look at some of those years, it's kind of cool to see the 60s or 50s or whatever. Yeah. Go ahead.
What has the Garden City Arena meant to the community, in your opinion?
Summer, you know, to go to catch all this stuff, right? You know, a Friday night, or like my dad said, I guess back then it was a Sunday night. You know, when I played for the Falcons, it was Friday night. And, you know, so many people go for the Junior B. You know, every junior team has their own night of the week. You know, I played for Welland, it was Sunday nights. And Thorold, it was Thursday nights. And that's just how they move the schedule around. But, yeah, for the community and stuff, all the things that they showed there is pretty cool. Like, a couple other things I want to touch on was, like, my mom, when I talked to her about doing this, she brought up, she remembers going there for the ice capades as a kid, you know? She saw the ice capades, and another thing I was going to touch on with my son, when he was 14 and a half months, we took him there to see the circus. So, you know, in the summer and stuff, when the ice is out, you know, they can use it for other things. I think they've had, like, maybe dog shows or something, and, like, just different things, maybe lacrosse even. Probably had some lacrosse in there, and you know, it's kind of funny when you try to think that that's where, like, the OHL team used to play, and now, you know, you look at the Meridian Center, you know, state-of-the-art new facility, and, you know, they're holding concerts and all that stuff there. And I don't know if concerts were ever at the Garden City or not. I'm sure probably at some point, I don't remember any myself, but you know, that circus, a circus memory for us. You know, I'd seen so many people from the community that were there that I knew from from whatever, even I seen some inmates there, I seen some, but with their families, you know, and, you know, I seen other friends and family and people I knew. And, you know, it's a place that we pass on generation to generation, you know, people I was seeing there, people I went to high school with, and then I get to meet their little families and their kids, and we're there for the circus. And I remember, you know, the motorcycles riding around in the ball, you know, the guy standing on the horse and just different things. It's kind of cool that it can be used for so many things, not just hockey or figure skating.
But, do you have a favorite memory associated with the circus?
You know, my parents were there with us, and you know, I have pictures of my little guy. It's my poor guy. He got his he broke his arm at 14 months under my watch, which really sucks. But so when you look at the pictures at the circus, he's got his little cast on, and he's just super excited, and he was dancing to the music. And you know, tonight actually I gotta take him to dance, so after I pick him up, I gotta get him home and get him fed, and off to dance we go. So as much as my guy plays sports and all that, he's in the dance. So yeah, the memory of the circus and Jackson, you know, dancing and stuff, and just absolutely loving it at 14 months. It's pretty funny. It's a good memory.
How have you passed on your experiences with the Garden State Arena to your son?
Like, yeah, I think it's just moving on from being a player. As a, you know, I started hockey at 8 years old, and then to think that my son, he's been skating since he was 2 years old, and he'll be six this month. So he started organized hockey at 4 years old. So he's got me beat pretty good when me starting at eight and then him starting at four. He's a pretty good little skater. And, you know, passing on, you know, letting them know that's where mommy and daddy used to skate apparently together as a team. And, you know, now I got to coach him there. It was amazing. It was pretty cool to be out there and, you know, watch him skate on the exact same ice I skated on as a little kid. So probably the memory of that.
Is there anything about the Garden Arena that you want to be remembered specifically?
Yeah, I guess mostly just like, yeah, all the family times and people going there to spend time with their family for the entertainment, whether it be the hockey or the circus or anything else that they've ever had there. You know, that's, yeah, the memories and the happy times for so many people that it's brought together, I guess. Yeah, just a classic arena for all the hockey that's been played there, and you know, myself involved, and as a player, coach, and fan. So I would think that all the classic hockey, yeah, just all the memories of hockey that's been played there. Like I said, the ghosts that are flying through there.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to share?
Yeah, just try to see what I've missed here, if there's any. You know, with the Rex Steiners, I scored my first goal there, for, you know, first ever hockey goal, you know, to think that's where my first, you know, I've scored so many goals since then, and it's like first one ever was there, and it was actually a two-goal game of all things. Garden City there, I played in the league championship that year, and it was filmed for us, you know, at 8 years old. You think that's pretty cool when, you know, they're filming it on Garden City ice, and we could watch it on Rogers Cable 10. Do they still got that? Is that still a thing? I don't even know.
It's on the Coca-Cola now. I think they do it.
Yeah. Yeah, like back in the day, they used to do the team photos for our league in the CYO, and like it was back in underneath and under the bleachers, and it just seemed so dark. It was just such a dark area. It was just, I don't know. And then I remember, like, for my dad's old timers tournaments and stuff, back there is where they would have like the beer sales and the food and stuff, and it's just funny memories. I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't think of a date exactly on this, but like late 90s to 2001, probably somewhere in there. But I was a counselor for like Bruce Boudreau's hockey school. So Bruce Boudreau, he was the NHL coach of the year back in 07-08 with the Washington Capitals. He's now the coach for the Vancouver Canucks. I don't know this until I look it up. I had to really, I looked a couple things up today because I don't watch hockey. But Yeah, when I was like maybe 16 or so, you know, coaching little kids even back then, you know. Even the great Johnny Bauer. Johnny Bauer is a legendary goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And even when he was playing for the Maple Leafs, I guess he was known as like the old guy. He looked like an old guy back then. So when I got to actually shoot with him teaching the kids, it was like, he's old. He was very old. I don't even think he's alive. Is he alive? I don't think he's around anymore. But yeah, getting to play with you know, future NHL people like that, or you know, NHL from the past. Once again, it's just the different generations of all that. And even Bruce Boudreau, who ran the hockey school. When I played for the Falcons, I played with his son Ben Boudreau. So there's pictures I have in there of just me and Ben Boudreau, of all things. Now he's a coach himself, and he's a coach in the East Coast League, following in his dad's footsteps. So a lot of that is coming around, you know, following in daddy's footsteps type of thing. So I wanted to make sure I said that about Ben. But another one, just growing up in there, it's funny. I know somewhere in here there's a picture of me when I was 19 on the team, and then funny. Oh, there it is. So here's me, 19, on the Falcons. But funny thing is, this guy right here, so I worked at the jail for 12 and a half years, and he ended up coming to, he was our stick boy for the Falcons. So I was 19, and I think he was like maybe 11 or 12. And then he came and worked with me at the jail, which is kind of funny. But he's a real estate guy now, so little guy, he's a real estate guy around here. But his dad was a coach on the team as well. So a lot of father-son moments, I think, are coming around in this that the Garden City gave to us, I guess. So, yeah, Dylan Parnell there. That was somebody I wanted to bring up because I think it's funny that he was my stick boy there. Looks like a little kid. Yeah, just Garden City's the, you know, Jackson, my son's first ever hockey practice, right? That's mine was at the Hague Bowl, which is also a very classic spot. That, I don't know if they still use that one in St. Catharines, but yeah, the Hague Bowl was my first ever hockey practice. And yeah, it's just, it's pretty cool to think that, you know, probably, you know, when Jackson gets a little older, you know, where he had his first practice won't be around anymore. You know, the Garden City won't, Garden City Jack won't be there anymore, right?
Yeah, I think they took the ice out of the Hague Bowl few years ago.
Yeah, eh?
Yeah. God. And Bauer died in 2017.
Yeah, yeah, he was old. Like
he was born in 1924. So
yeah,
he
yeah, he's old.
He's really old.
He's very old. But yeah, I don't think I've there's no other points I want to touch on. If you have questions, I'm good. If you want to ask anything else, but yeah, I don't know.
I have a quick question actually. Sure. Sorry, I know Mariah has some questions, but I just had a question coming back to the fact that you met your wife, originally met her when she was playing CYO with you.
Yeah.
Was she the only girl on your team, or were there other girls, or was it, is it, because I know that my son plays CYO and there's sometimes a girl on the team, but there are very few.
So that's the funny question I always get, why when people say it, like, you know, and, you know, she walked into my grandpa's nursing room, or like at the hospital room, and then like people always say, how could you have recognized her from hockey like that when you hadn't seen her in such a long time? You hadn't seen her since she was like 10 years old, 11 years old. As a male playing hockey, and that's just the way it is. I can think of two right now. I played against one that was really good. I don't even remember playing ever having two teammates as girls. So if you play on that many teams with that many guys, and then there's a girl in the mix only twice, you remember them. So, you know, the other girl, Tammy, you know, I know she was a goalie that I played with in Thorold. So other than that, I don't think I ever played with any other girls. So it's pretty easy to remember the only girl that you played with. And her story that she likes to bring up, and, you know, because I was, me and her, she has a twin brother. And her twin and I, we were called the Twin Towers on the team because we were the two tallest in the league. And she always had a problem with that because she was the actual twin. So yeah, she gets a kick out of that. But yeah, so a little bit of banter back and forth, I guess, there. Yeah, I can show you pictures after, just the ones I found on my phone, but there's some interesting stuff in there.
Did your wife continue playing hockey?
Yeah, she went up, she played house league, high school, I mean. She played high school as well. I I'm sure she would want me to say that. I think she was the defense person of the year, I guess, that one year, on our team, even with all the guys. So she was actually a good hockey player too. So, you know, it's still fun to get out there and skate with her these days and play with her. But yeah, she was good back then. And I think when the hormones and all the growth and stuff came in, I think her mom made her go to all-girls ringette. So there was a time in there, I think, where she was away from hockey, men boys hockey, I guess. So she did the ringette thing, and then high school she played, she played there.
I was just curious, like, with your involvement in hockey and with CYO, how has, like, fundraising played a role in any of that? Or do you, like, recall any, like, fundraising initiatives at the arena or anything like that?
That's such a good question, but I don't really remember myself as I'm thinking about it. And to think, like, over the past 2 years with the whole COVID thing going on, I think the kids have got gypped, you know, and in regards to, you know, some of the things that we used to do and stuff. I just can't think of the fundraising that we did as a kid, but probably because my parents were more into it, but I just can't think for that. But yeah, like, they're just, stuff like that is not, you know, a part of the game right now, I think, because of COVID, you know, so I can't think of fundraising.
I'm not sure.
I know, like, we used to get to go to a Buffalo Sabre game every year. I don't know if that was if we had to fundraise for that or not, but we would go to, you know, I got to play on the ice during the intermission in Buffalo in CYO. So CYO allowed us to do that. That was pretty cool. As a little kid, 9-year-old kid, I think I was to play in front of a real, you know, the real crowd. And, you know, I think Chicago Blackhawks, they played that night. And, you know, Craig Simpson, who was a Buffalo player, came in and shook our hands and stuff, signed autographs. And, you know, just recently my little guy got to play in the Ice Dogs game. So CYO allowed him to do that. So that was pretty cool. You know, thinks it's the greatest thing at 5 years old, being in front of a real crowd in a real arena and stuff. So I don't know how much that's fundraising, but it's an opportunity that they were able to allow them to have. So sorry, I can't think of a fundraiser.
Does your dad still support the Blackhawks? Like the Chicago Blackhawks?
Oh, no. God, no.
Okay.
No, he's a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
Okay.
Diehard.
Okay.
And, oh, he's, yeah, he's a diehard Leaf fan. I remember as a kid, always just, you know, he worked at GM, so shift work and coming home all the time, and he would tape the games, never wanted to know who won or lost, and, like, you'd just hear him yelling at the TV, and I just tell him all the time, just turn it off. You know they're going to lose, you know. Don't do this to yourself. And so... that's my dream, that before he dies, that before he passes, not that he's going to anytime soon, he'll be 68 this year, but he's got lots of life to live. He still plays hockey 3 days a week, but I was just saying that I want those Maple Leafs to win a cup finally for him before he goes. So, I don't know, it's been a tough run as a Leaf fan, but yeah, growing up in Leaf House, I definitely was never a Leaf fan. So,
where does he play?
Like I said, he used to play old timers. He was on two different old timers teams that I remember, and it was always a blast going to all these different cities and being the stick boy for that. And it always led to, you know, good food and stuff. And these days, he's more playing, I think, in the four pad and the Meridian Center in Font Hill. There, he plays in different leagues, like a 45 plus, I think, and then there's actually like also a 60-year-old plus. So, yeah, he still plays lots. Yeah, he loves hockey still. He plays more than I care to for whatever reason.
Maybe when you retire, you'll get back into it.
That's what I always say about golf. Like, that's a sport I'll take up when I'm old and, you know, something to retire to. Yeah, I'm into kickboxing and boxing and working out, and I'm that silly guy dragging tires around. I was dragging a tractor tire around today. I don't know, the big hill behind Brock here, Hydro Hill. I was bear crawling it the other day. Carrying my 70 pounds in each arm up the hill. That's what I'm into. I'm into performance training and getting ready for firefighting when I got to answer that bell.
Yeah.